Thank you for singing that song. I was worried about, well, I'm always worried. I could always start every sentence with, I was worried about what I was going to do next, but I talked to Dad because I had a plan what I wanted to preach, and it seems like over and over again I get the idea and I get the outline, and then he sends me his sermon that he's going to preach, and he sends me his words, and I'm in the Sunday school lesson, and I'm like, well, I'm going to change it a little bit because I don't want to say the same thing, and I don't want to repeat the same truth, and I worry a lot. And I told him that earlier, and he said, well, did you think maybe God wanted to make it that way? And yeah, I do, but it shocks me when it happens. And I didn't say anything. I never asked somebody what they're going to sing, and I didn't know that she was going to sing that song. And anyway, the sermon's already been preached, but I want to remind you tonight who we serve. And the whole point is, it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what they think. Jesus said she did what she could, and we need to do the same thing. This lady we read in Mark 14, it doesn't give her name. It says Mary, and I think it's John chapter 12, came to Jesus, brought a box that was expensive. The stuff inside was more expensive, and she wanted to express the best way she knew how, express her love to Jesus, express a sacrifice, express a service, and she wanted to show that to her master. A lot of times we as Christians, we get shocked when God actually does what we tell everybody that God does. We get shocked when God leads us and God comes through, and we live our life at such a low baseline for what it should be. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 12, and again, I think it's in the words. If you can't make out what I'm saying today, it's part of it is in the words in the bulletin today, but Romans chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We say, you know, Christianity is coming to church and showing up, and we put our requirement baseline real low, but God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Live holy, live separated, prepared lives to serve God. That's your reasonable service. That's what any reasonable person would ask of somebody who's been given so much. A Christian that's been given eternal life, been given a home in heaven and eternal blessings that start right now on earth. And he says, that's your reasonable service. But this woman came to Jesus. Her love was misunderstood. Some people mocked her. Some people said, what a waste. And Jesus didn't say any of those things. Jesus said, she hath done what she could. And you think about that sacrifice, what it represented. Today we'd say it was 300 pence. It was 300 daily wages that she said, this is worth it to me. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'll never be able to afford to do this again. If I live my life that Jesus is here now, I'll never be able to afford to make this offering again. And it's only going to happen one time. This is my opportunity. It was a woman that she knew who the master was. She knew Jesus. She knew the symbolism, the importance of what she was doing. It had to be in her mind for her to make this offering. You don't do that by accident. You don't prepare and show up with this thing in your hand. You don't do that by accident. She had a plan. She knew the importance of it. And she knew what she was about to do. And Jesus mentioned, he said, she has come to anoint my body to the burying. He said, of all the people in this room right now, she understands what's about to happen. We're getting to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He knows what's coming next. And she recognized the importance of what she was doing. And in the Bible, kings were anointed and prophets were anointed. And those that were prepared for burial were anointed. And I believe that she knew in each of those areas, she knew what she was doing when she offered this gift to Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings. In Revelation, it says that it was inscribed above him, he's the King of Kings. It says that he is our high priest. It says he is our prophet. In Revelation, it says he was dead, but is alive forevermore. And I think this lady knew that. And then again, this passage doesn't even give us her name. And her name is not important because everybody knows who we're talking about. We know the woman that went and did this because it stands out. Jesus said it would be remembered. It would be when they talk about the gospel, the whole world shall also know that she hath done, that thing that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I think she understood that. And if she can understand that, then we can too. We serve the same king, we serve the same high priest, we serve the same prophet, and we serve the same one who willingly went to the cross and paid and died to pay for our sins. She knew that. She gave of her sacrifice. She gave of her service. And then she surrendered what she had to be given to offer to her Savior. And tonight, again, we know the story, we've heard the story, but most of us don't live there. You know, we get shocked by a story like this. We still get shocked today when somebody says, I'm going to give the rest of my life to serve God. I'm going to go to the mission field. Or somebody says, I'm going to sell all of my possessions, all of my stuff, and I'm going to give it to this worthy cause. Or somebody says, I'm going to give everything that I've ever trained for, and I'm going to give it all. I'm going to give everything. I'm going to give the contents. I'm going to break the box. I'm going to break it all open. Everything that's every down to the last drop. I'm going to give it all, and that still shocks us today. That still sets us back, and we say, "Well, what's their motive? What's behind that?" Instead of saying, "Oh, there's a Christian. There's somebody that gets it. There's somebody that's like this lady that says, oh, well, they understand it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity because we have one life. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to serve God. It's our lifetime." A couple of the testimonies got me excited tonight, thinking about that spark that God gives us. You know, when the Holy Spirit tells us, go to that person, go meet that need, and we feel that little ember of a desire, that's exciting because that means that God's Spirit is talking to us. And the Bible tells us, quench not the Spirit. And that gets me excited to say, you know, maybe in the past I did quench the Spirit, and God allowed that ember to start burning again. And don't turn away from it. Don't quench it again. Respond to it. Get excited about it again. God can use each of us as we surrender to him. As we say, I'll give you what I have. I'll do what I can do. Like Jesus said, she did what she could. And our sacrifice, our service, and our surrender. That was the little outline as an introduction, and now I just want us to learn from her example. Jesus said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached, all around the world, every time the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus said, leave her alone. He said in verse 6, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Again, Jesus didn't have any of the indignation or the murmuring, or the what a waste. He said, you always have the poor. And I think he was kind of burning the guys around him. He's like, if you wanted to help the poor, there's always poor people to help. None of you are helping the poor. You're all just complaining that she is giving a gift. He said, you'll always have the poor with you, but what she's doing is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for her. It's a once-in-a-lifetime gift that she can give. She probably won't ever earn that much in one place again to be able to give it again. He said, let her alone. It's all right. He's, in other words, he said, it's all right. Leave her alone. She's done what she could. He said, all of you have issues. You all have things you're murmuring about. But Jesus said, she's okay. In our words, we'd say, she's okay. Don't trouble her. It's all right. Learn from that example. Learn from this story. It's all right if everybody doesn't understand you and what you're doing. Jesus was the only one in that room. Jesus was the only one that understood the meaning of what she had done. Everybody else had a different idea. But it's all right if everybody doesn't understand you. Do what you can do anyway. Do what you can anyway. Not for men, but for God. When David was anointed, Samuel, the prophet, went to anoint David, and all the sons came out. And remember that verse when God told Samuel, the Lord seeth not as men seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. It doesn't matter if not everybody understands you. In fact, probably if you're doing something for God, there's going to be somebody that misunderstands. There's going to be somebody that thinks you're doing it for the wrong reason or the wrong motive or whatever the case may be. Or they get convicted that they're not doing it in their own life, so they think there must be a problem with you. But it's all right to be misunderstood. Do what you can do anyway. Do it anyway. Do what you, she did what she could. You do what you can do. It's all right if you're the only one responding to the Spirit's leading. There were other good people in that room, but only one brought the ointment. Only one broke the box. Only one expressed their love in that way. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay if you're the only one responding to the Spirit's leading. Do what you can do anyway. Do what you can anyway. And it's possible that God touched another person's heart. It's possible that he wanted them to make a sacrifice, but it's possible because we are humans with free will that they didn't respond to the leading. It's possible that they didn't let that ember burn and spark and grow. It's possible that they quenched God's Spirit. But you don't need to spend any of your time wondering why no one else is responding. If God wants you to respond, do what you can do. Do what you can do. God may not touch another's heart. He may say, I'm counting on you to do it. If God has shown you a need, feel blessed that God chose to use you to see that need and meet that need. Do what you can do to meet that need. It's all right to feel lonely sometimes. It's not, my son always corrects my grammar and my sayings, and he asked me what I'm talking about. It's not the end of the world if you're lonely sometimes. And Aaron says, well, it's not the end of the world. What do you mean it's not the end of the world? Should I be worried? And I'm like, no, it's not the end of the world. It's just something you say. But it's all right. It's not the end of the world if you feel lonely sometimes. If you feel like, well, why hasn't God burdened somebody else's heart about this? Why hasn't God shown this need to anybody else? Why is it only me? It's, don't worry. Don't worry about being lonely. When it's you and God, you're in the majority. If God's the one telling you to do it, you don't have to worry about anybody else. It's all right. It's all right to be the only one to respond. Many times, the great heroes of the past, missionaries and preachers and evangelists, they tell the story when they responded to the call of God, and only one person responded. You know, they were the one that responded. But it's all right. If you're the one that feels the leading, you be the one that responds. And it's all right if somewhere there exists someone who could do something better than you could do it. That's all right. It's okay. It's all right if somewhere right now, somewhere right now, somebody could do it better than you could do it. It's all right if that's the case, but you go ahead and do what you can do. I heard a pundit talking about an old story he had heard. Somewhere in the world, there is the absolute worst doctor in the whole world, and that's just a scary thought to think about. Scarier than that, somebody has an appointment to meet him tomorrow morning. So somewhere in the world, there's the very worst, and probably somewhere in the world, there's somebody preaching a better message, doing it in a better way, not breaking down crying four times. But you do what you can do. Do, since you have the opportunity, you have the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to spend and give of yourself. It's all right if somewhere else there's somebody that could do it better. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that dissuade you. Do what you can do. Do what you can do with what God has given you. I told the story in junior church. I was trying to, we had a 73 or whatever. We had a lot of kids this morning. And I was just trying to tell them something to try to get their attention to at least give them the gospel. It was crazy in there, you know. And I told the story about how one time I thought I was going to die. I've had two or three times where I thought I was going to die. And I was in a river and I had a life jacket, but I couldn't swim real well. And I was getting swept down the river. And somebody dove in and pulled me back to shore. And I was thinking about that, you know, what I was glad that guy didn't stop me. So, you know, there's three better swimmers back here. Any one of those guys could come save this guy. I'm going to let one of the professionals handle it. I was glad personally that one decided to jump in and save me. And I thought about my own salvation. There's probably, when I got saved, all the people that I went to church with and all the people that gave me the gospel, there was probably other people that might have been better at it, but none of them told me about Jesus. Only the ones that told me about Jesus told me. And I'm glad all those people said, I might not be the best, I might not be the most prepared, most qualified, but I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to, like the lady did, she gave what she could, and I'm going to do what I can do. This woman was the one that was present with Jesus. Someone else was not. This woman was the one that realized the gravity of the situation, realized the opportunity that she had, realized the sacrifice and the service and the surrender that she could show, and she did it. She did what she could. So tonight, I got done a little bit early, but tonight I want you to think about, as an invitation before we pray, could Jesus say that about each of us? They've done what they could. I know that each of us have been given different responsibilities, different levels of responsibility and attitude, and you know what we can handle, what we can put up with, what we can stomach, or temp we can tolerate, and God has given each of us. Can we each say, I've done what I could. I've done what I could. Could Jesus say that about us? And if not, which direction are we headed? Are we getting more in the attitude of, man, I wish someday I could just give everything I've got to God. I wish I could get there. I'm not there yet, but I wish I could head in that direction. Or are we moving toward the other side of indignation and murmuring and wondering what's wrong with those people? Why would they act that way? Which direction are we headed? This is a deep thought, but most of the time you can tell a lot about somebody. You can tell where they're headed before they get there. You can tell where they're headed by the direction that they're traveling. You know, if they're headed toward Flint, they're probably going to be traveling in that direction because that's their destination. So maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're not to the level of this woman to give everything and surrender all. But which direction are you headed? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to send that spark again? Say, you know, I've quenched the Holy Spirit in the past. There's been opportunities that God has given me. He didn't call anybody else. He didn't burden anybody else, and I didn't respond. And I quenched the Holy Spirit. God, please send that spark again. Get me excited again. God, I promise if you send it again, I'll fan the flames. I'll get excited. I'll do something. Burden my heart again. Send it again. Which direction do we strive to be? Like that woman who gave all, or those that are indignation and murmuring and complaining? And tonight I wanted to ask you, is it something you could pray about? Is it something you could set a goal and say, I want to head in the right direction. I want to give what I have to Jesus. Maybe we are the stubborn ones. Maybe we don't want to ask for directions. I hate getting lost. I hate admitting when I've wasted time and money and effort, and I hate doing stuff over again. But that might be where we are. We might say, I've been investing in the wrong outcome. I'm investing in being the judge instead of the one that gives all. I've spent my time headed in the wrong direction. I need to make a U-turn tonight and ask God not only to let me be willing, but to give me the opportunities to respond when the Holy Spirit leads me. I'm thankful for the people in my life that said, you know what, there's probably better people. There's probably other people that have received the burden. There's probably other people that should be doing this job, but I'm thankful for the ones that said, well, I'm here. It's okay. It's all right. I'll do what I can do. I want Jesus to be able to say, that's what he did. He did what he could. She did what she could. That's my prayer for this church. I love you, appreciate you, and I love serving, getting to be on the same team, serving God together with you. I'm excited again. I'm excited again about this church. And I know God gives us more than we deserve, and God's given me more than I deserve in this church. I want to, I know that's our heart. I want to be able to go back to God and say, do it again, God. I send the burden again. I know you've done it in the past. I've tried to respond to it, but send it again. I want a fresh spark, a fresh anointing. I want to respond to your Spirit again. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening to me blubber through this. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. I'm sorry, Lord, that we're surprised when you work. I'm sorry that I don't trust you more. I'm sorry that I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to give everything. But I pray, Lord, that we're headed in the right direction. I pray, Lord, that we'd not be shocked by those around us that respond to the call of God, that respond when they're the only one, and they respond when there might be somebody better. But they say, well, I'm here. I'll do it. Thank you for examples all around us of people that have done what they could. I pray, Lord, that you would allow that to be said of each of us, that we'd head in that direction, that we'd get our mind behind that and do the work that you have for us to do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a home in heaven. If there's somebody here tonight, Lord, that has struggled with that, that has questions, that needs to know from your word that heaven can be their home because Jesus could be their Savior if they just trust him. Help them to come and make that decision tonight. Help them to get it settled tonight so they can begin to serve you and to honor you with their lives. Bless us tonight. Bless the invitation. Bless each of us, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.